Seth, this is the Real BS Show. You're giving away our age here with this music.
That's right. Age is just a number anyways.
Yeah, right. Until you pass out and die.
Right.
This song could be 70 years old, couldn't it?
I think it is, yeah. It's about there, yeah.
Wow. Still sounds good, though. After 70 years, it's kind of interesting.
Right.
You know, we ought to do a show about what it's like to be 70 or after 70.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Of course, you couldn't really.
I wouldn't relate to it, but I'll be there in 30 years.
30?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That's going to go by quick.
Yeah, that'll happen in a flash. Yeah, but I can, because I'm already past 70.
Right. You could shed some wisdom for other people.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can tell them all my mistakes.
There you go. That's actually
what not to do.
That's how I learned. I learned from my brothers the things they did wrong so I wouldn't repeat them.
You know? Well, I learned a lot, but I still repeated a lot of stupid ideas, mistakes. And yeah.
Same here.
But now that I'm 70, I think back and I'm thinking, geez, why did I do all these stupid things?
Right.
And so just working hard not to do it now. You know,
right.
Not to waste money on the wrong dumb things.
Right.
All the junk I collected and got to get rid of, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I guess it's your age that dictates what it is you want.
Right.
Or need. So, I don't know. You know, there's got to be I think we found a thing about after 70.
Yeah, some audio, yeah.
Audio, yeah. What,
kind of lays it out, 9 steps.
Yeah, it sounded pretty interesting. And I think I should listen to it so I can learn something.
Yeah, yeah. As they say,
well, a lot of it I already know.
Right. But, a lot of it, some of it's like, you know, stuff that, you know, it's never too late to learn, you know. That's a good way to view it.
Yeah, you say, wow, that's what I'm doing wrong, you know. I don't know, I just know I got a lot of junk to get rid of.
Right, right.
Stuff that's been in plastic tubs forever and I don't even know what's in there, you know. I say, what am I saving this crap for?
Right.
You know, jeez. But anyway, and then I watch, you know, my kids and other people and see what they're doing. And I just shake my head and I say, well, I guess you got to learn the hard way.
Yeah, it's true.
You got to screw up like I did.
Right.
So there you go. What, we have an audio? That guy talking about being past 70.
Yeah, we'll kick him right up here.
I don't know. I guess we've got some listeners that are past 70. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Or coming up on it, yeah.
And and for those that are younger than 70, maybe this will be a little eye-opener.
Right.
Help you avoid some of the screw-ups.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. Are you ready to play it?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. You're the boss there, so you take over the operation.
All right, here we go.
9 things that become meaningless after 70. Embracing freedom and fulfillment in later life. Reaching the age of 70 is a significant and often reflective moment in life. By this stage, many individuals have had rich and varied experiences, from career achievements to personal milestones. Life has bestowed wisdom, resilience, and a deeper understanding of what truly matters. Yet, with all that life has given, it also becomes a time to evaluate what no longer holds value. The things that may have once driven us but now seem irrelevant or burdensome. As we step into this new chapter, it's essential to let go of what no longer serves us and focus on what brings fulfillment, joy, and a sense of peace. This is a time to live more authentically, to embrace simplicity, and to prioritize our own happiness. In doing so, we free ourselves from the unnecessary weight that may have accumulated over the years. Below are 9 things that become meaningless after 70 and practical advice on how to release these burdens to live a lighter, more intentional life. 1. Worrying about the opinions of others. Throughout much of life, many of us are conditioned to care deeply about how others perceive us. We strive to meet expectations from family, friends, colleagues, and society at large. The approval of others, whether through career achievements, personal choices, or social standing, often plays a significant role in shaping our decisions. However, as we age, this concern gradually loses its significance. By the time we reach 70, the weight of others' opinions becomes increasingly meaningless. At this stage, you've had enough life experience to recognize that no one else's opinion should define your worth or influence how you live. This newfound clarity brings freedom. Rather than bending to societal norms or seeking validation from external sources, you are now in a position to fully embrace your authentic self. You have the wisdom to understand that true contentment comes from living in alignment with your own values, not those imposed by others. Think back to the times when you may have made decisions based on how others might judge you. Did those choices truly make you happy? Now, imagine the liberation that comes from making decisions solely based on what feels right for you. Whether it's how you dress, where you live, or how you spend your time, you have the right to prioritize your own happiness without seeking approval. This is your time to live on your own terms, free from the opinions of others. Letting go of this burden allows you to reclaim your personal power and live more authentically. As you release the need for external validation, you'll find a deep sense of peace and joy in simply being yourself. 2. Accumulating material possessions. In our younger years, many of us place a high value on accumulating material possessions, whether it's buying a home, acquiring a new car, or filling closets with clothes. The pursuit of things often symbolizes success, security, or achievement. But as we grow older, the significance of material possessions fades. By the time you reach 70, it becomes clear that happiness doesn't come from owning more things. In fact, the accumulation of material goods can become a source of stress rather than joy. As we age, we may realize that we've spent years accumulating items that no longer serve us or clutter our living spaces. These items may hold sentimental value or represent past accomplishments, but they can also weigh us down. Maintaining a home full of possessions requires time, energy, and mental space, and often, the things we own end up owning us. Now is the perfect time to reevaluate your relationship with material possessions. Consider what truly adds value to your life and what you can let go of. Take stock of your home. Are there things you've been holding on to that no longer serve a purpose? Perhaps there's furniture you no longer use, clothing you haven't worn in years, or gadgets that sit unused in a drawer. Decluttering can be an incredibly freeing experience. As you let go of physical items, you make room not only in your home, but in your mind and heart as well. You'll find that creating space for new experiences, memories, and connections is far more rewarding than holding onto material things. After all, the joy of life is found in relationships, meaningful moments, and personal growth, not in possessions. 3. Maintaining social obligations that no longer bring joy. In earlier stages of life, there is often a sense of duty or obligation to attend social events, participate in gatherings, and maintain connections, even when they no longer bring joy. Whether it's out of politeness, a desire to maintain relationships, or a sense of obligation, we often find ourselves saying yes to things we'd rather not do. But after 70, life is too precious to spend in situations that no longer fulfill us. It's important to recognize that it's perfectly okay to say no to social obligations that drain your energy or fail to resonate with you. At this stage, you have the freedom to prioritize your own happiness and well-being. There is no need to feel guilty for declining invitations or stepping back from relationships that no longer align with your values or desires. Have you ever attended an event out of a sense of duty, only to feel emotionally drained afterward? Imagine the relief of choosing only to engage in social activities that bring you joy and fulfillment. Whether it's spending time with close friends who lift you up, attending a gathering that aligns with your interests, or simply enjoying a quiet evening at home, you have the right to make choices that honor your true desires. By selectively choosing the social interactions that add value to your life, you'll find that each connection becomes more meaningful. You'll also feel more present and engaged when you're participating in activities that genuinely resonate with you. This isn't about isolating yourself, but rather about being intentional with how you spend your time and energy. 4. Chasing society's standards of beauty. Society has long emphasized youth and physical appearance as markers of beauty. From magazine covers to advertisements, we are bombarded with messages that equate beauty with smooth skin, toned bodies, and a youthful appearance. For many, this pressure to conform to societal beauty standards can lead to a lifelong pursuit of staying young or hiding the natural signs of aging. But after 70, the idea of chasing these external standards becomes meaningless. Wrinkles, gray hair, and other signs of aging are not something to be ashamed of. They are evidence of a life well lived. Each line on your face tells a story. Each gray hair is a testament to the wisdom you've gained over the years. Instead of seeing these marks as flaws, view them as symbols of resilience and growth. As we grow older, authentic beauty becomes less about physical appearance and more about the qualities we embody: confidence, kindness, grace, and authenticity. These are the attributes that make us truly beautiful, regardless of age. The people you admire most likely aren't those who conform to society's narrow standards of beauty, but rather those who radiate warmth, wisdom, and compassion. Letting go of society's standards of beauty allows you to embrace yourself fully, just as you are. You no longer need to feel pressured to hide the natural signs of aging or conform to unrealistic ideals. By accepting your body and appearance with love and appreciation, you free yourself from the endless cycle of trying to fix something that was never broken. Your beauty at 70 and beyond is a reflection of your life, your spirit, and your inner strength. 5. Holding on to activities that no longer bring fulfillment. Throughout life, we all develop routines, hobbies, and activities that once brought us joy. But as time goes on, these activities may lose their meaning or become more of a chore than a source of enjoyment. After 70, it's important to reassess how you spend your time and let go of the activities that no longer fulfill you. This doesn't mean abandoning all the things you once loved, but rather taking a closer look at whether certain activities still bring you happiness. For example, perhaps you once loved participating in a weekly bridge game with friends, but now find it tiring or unfulfilling. Or maybe you've been a part of a club for years, but no longer feel connected to its purpose. It's okay to step back from these activities if they no longer serve you. Letting go of outdated routines creates space for new passions and interests. You may find that as you age, your priorities shift and you're drawn to different types of experiences. Perhaps you'll discover a love for painting, gardening, or writing that you never explored before. Or maybe you'll find joy in spending more time with family or engaging in quiet reflection. The point is to give yourself permission to evolve and grow. Life after 70 is still full of opportunities for discovery and fulfillment. By releasing the activities that no longer bring you joy, you open yourself up to new experiences that align with who you are today. 6. Tolerating toxic relationships. Relationships play a central role in our lives, but not all relationships are healthy or fulfilling. Over time, you may have maintained certain relationships out of obligation, even if they brought negativity or stress into your life. However, after 70, there's no reason to continue tolerating toxic relationships that drain your energy and emotional well-being. Toxic relationships can take many forms, whether it's a friend who constantly criticizes you, a family member who brings negativity, or an acquaintance who makes you feel small. These relationships often leave us feeling depleted, anxious, or unappreciated. But walking away from toxic relationships is not an act of selfishness. It's an act of self-care. You deserve to be surrounded by people who lift you up, support you, and bring positivity into your life. Letting go of toxic relationships creates space for healthier, more fulfilling connections. It allows you to invest your time and energy in relationships that nurture your well-being and bring you joy. Have you ever noticed how much lighter you feel after spending time with someone who genuinely values and respects you? Those are the types of relationships that matter most, the ones that leave you feeling uplifted, appreciated, and understood. By prioritizing these healthy connections, you can enhance your quality of life and create deeper, more meaningful bonds. 7. Comparing yourself to others. Comparison is often described as the thief of joy, and for good reason. Throughout life, it's easy to fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to others, whether it's a neighbor's seemingly perfect family, a friend's financial success, or a sibling's accomplishments. We may find ourselves measuring our own happiness and success against those around us. But by the time we reach 70, we've learned an important truth. Everyone's journey is different, and comparison only robs us of our own joy. There is no universal formula for success, fulfillment, or happiness. What brings one person joy may not be the same for someone else, and that's okay. Your life is uniquely your own, and your path is a reflection of your choices, experiences, and values. When you let go of comparisons, you free yourself and fully embrace your own journey. Instead of measuring your worth against others, celebrate your own accomplishments, no matter how small they may seem. Recognize the value of your experiences and the lessons you've learned along the way. By focusing on your own path, you can live more authentically and find greater contentment in who you are. 8. Clinging to outdated goals. When we're younger, many of us set ambitious goals based on societal expectations, personal aspirations, or the dreams we held at the time. These goals may have included building a successful career, achieving financial stability, or gaining recognition in a particular field. But as we grow older, our priorities shift, and some of those goals may no longer feel relevant or meaningful. After 70, it's important to reevaluate your goals and determine what truly matters to you now. It's perfectly okay to let go of goals that no longer align with your values or desires. For example, you may have once dreamt of climbing the corporate ladder, but now find that spending more time with loved ones is far more fulfilling. Or perhaps you once aspired to accumulate wealth, but now prioritize that experiences and memories over material success. By redefining your goals, you can focus on what brings you joy, peace, and a sense of purpose in this stage of life. Your goals should reflect who you are today, not the person you were 20 or 30 years ago. Letting go of outdated ambitions allows you to live with greater intention and to pursue the things that truly matter to you now. 9. Feeling guilty for prioritizing your own happiness. Many of us have spent much of our lives prioritizing the needs of others, whether it's caring for family, fulfilling work obligations, or meeting the expectations of friends and loved ones. As a result, we may feel guilty when we finally take time to focus on our own happiness. But after 70, it's time to release that guilt and recognize that your happiness matters just as much as anyone else's. You've spent decades giving to others, and now it's time to give to yourself. Prioritizing your own well-being is not selfish. It's necessary for your emotional, physical, and mental health. When you take care of yourself and engage in activities that bring you joy, you're better able to show up for the people you love in a more present and meaningful way. What brings you joy? Is it traveling, spending time in nature, exploring a new hobby, or simply relaxing with a good book? Whatever it is, make it a priority. You deserve to put your own happiness at the top of your list, and by doing so, you'll enrich not only your own life, but the lives of those around you. Conclusion: letting go for a lighter, more fulfilling life. As you move through life after 70, it becomes clear that some things simply don't hold the same weight they once did. By letting go of these burdens, whether it's the opinions of others, material possessions, toxic relationships, or societal expectations, you create space for what truly matters. This is your time to live more lightly, more intentionally, and with greater joy. Embrace the freedom that comes with this stage of life. Focus on the relationships that bring you happiness, the experiences that fulfill you, and the simple pleasures that make life meaningful. By releasing what no longer serves you, you open the door to a deeper sense of peace, purpose, and fulfillment. This is your journey. And it's one that deserves to be lived fully, authentically, and with an open heart. Let go of what's me.
Now, there's some good advice for those who are over 70.
Yeah, right? Or becoming 70.
Or you're headed towards that. Well, yeah. We're all headed towards 70. No, well, I left 70 in the dust.
Yeah, you did. You're like, I'm done with you. I'm now 74.
Well, there's a lot of good advice there. Get rid of all that junk you've been storing forever and ever.
Right. You don't need it.
I can take a truckload down to Salvation Army and jump it off.
Someone will be dealing with it. That's how it is. Either you or somebody else, you know.
Yeah, let somebody else buy it for a discount.
Right.
So that's what do you got? A bunch of old music?
Yeah, I got stuff that, you know, I grew up with a lot of this music, even though I was born in the 80s. I grew up with a lot of records that my father had, and they had this huge record player that was a cabinet the size of a long dresser, and he had all these records in it, and I'd pop them in there and listen to them, and there was a lot of music that we listened to, from rock to, you know, pop stuff that my mother enjoyed, or even funk. It was like a weird mixture of everything, blues, you know, jazz, you know, you name it. There was tons of records. And a lot of that music influenced me, you know. Like, I'm the type, you know, you can't really put a genre on the things I like, but there's a lot of good bands back then, you know.
And, yeah, good back then, good now.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, there's a lot of crap back then, and there's a lot of crap now.
I was just going to say that. You know, there's a lot of bands that, like, I knew the name. I'm thinking, like, some of the songs I picked, I was like, I knew the names, but then I was like, wait a second, this song sucks. Maybe people enjoy it, but to me it's like the recording's bad and they never did a remaster.
You know, I keep hearing this stuff with this Combs guy. P. Diddy, I think they call him.
Yeah.
I haven't a clue. I mean, how could he be a music major, music mogul? I have no idea what he did.
Yeah.
Was it all rap or something?
Hip-hop, you know, back in the late 90s and the 2000s, he was really popular. And if you went to, like, the clubs, you'd hear him playing. He was on the radio, like, on, you know, around here we have that pop station.
Star. Was he a singer or just a rapper?
Singer. Yeah, he sang.
Singer?
Yeah, singer and rapping some. So.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a hip hop artist.
I didn't even know who he was or what he did or anything.
And then he got into producing music and
Bad Boy Records, I think is called, or something like that.
Yeah.
Now he's going to lose it all.
Yeah, well, that's what happens sometimes.
But I mean, he's rich. I mean, millions and millions of dollars in all these houses he has in Florida and California.
Yeah, and he screwed it all. It's just like, you know, kind of like Icarus, the story of the Greek, you know, it's a Greek story about Icarus. He gained wings to fly, and he flown too close to the sun. Then
he got torched or scorched.
The wings, the wax melted, and he fell to the ground.
It's a long ways.
Yeah. When you realize that, you know, we all could do that, you know, that's something to kind of keep yourself in check. You're not a god. You're not invincible. That you're fallible. And
well, these movie stars and that, I mean, I know from doing all this sound work for all these celebrities that a ton of jerks. You know, behind the scenes, out on stage, they just, you know, they look like your best buddy. But boy, behind the scenes, they're just total idiots.
Most of them are probably narcissists, you know, all about them. Here's one for you. You know, Polanski, that one director that was director of movies, and he was sitting there having relations with underage girls and abusing them.
Well, that was his wife that got shot by Charlie Manson, Sharon Tate.
Yeah, Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
And everyone defended him when it came to light that he was abusing girls.
Well, he's in Spain or someplace now, hiding.
Yeah,
yeah. Hiding.
There's some people that want to exonerate him, think he's innocent. And if you read into it, I won't tell you what happened, but you can go find out what happened, why he should be in jail, and yet that gets ignored. People were trying to give him awards and stuff even after. It's just, you know.
What did he make? Rosemary's Baby is the only thing I know of.
Yeah, there was other ones. There was other movies. He had quite a few movies.
Well, that Rosemary's Baby thing, that was creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's a creepy movie maker.
Yeah, he's one of those, yeah.
Jeez.
You know, hey, people like that kind of thing. That's their choice. You know, I don't judge. I just, you know. But, you know, I think that, you know, when as you age, you kind of like, you do cut off a lot of the crud in some ways. Yes, you kind of went through the grinding wheel of life and learned the do's and don'ts that not society puts on, but what kind of how the nature works, how the world works. And sometimes you know a little bit better, and people should listen. They should listen to what you have to say, and because otherwise...
Ooh, me? What yeah, I got to
and,
say?
Yeah, in general, and the older people, because you guys been through the grinder.
Well, I went through a lot of nonsense that most folks would never see. You
right.
Know,
right.
You know, with the sound business and the
right.
major concerts and, you know, all the national acts and... Oh, I worked for five presidents, you know. I mean, and their wives and their, you know, Hillary Clinton. I mean, there's people that, I mean, you knew you were in for a rough day when they said, number one, don't make eye contact. Yeah, number two, don't talk to them.
Right.
Number, you know, they had all these rules. I said, oh, geez, what is this, God or something? Yeah, who am I dealing with here?
Who was the best first white, lady that you dealt with?
The best first lady?
Yeah.
Probably Carter.
Carter's wife?
Jimmy Carter's wife.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I mean, just a nice lady, period.
He was kind of always down
to earth. She didn't do anything or, you know.
But even Jimmy Carter, you know, even though he was a Democrat, he was a really nice guy.
Oh, he's a super guy. Yeah, he's a real nice, very pleasant, very pleasant.
They made fun of him for being a peanut farmer. I'm sitting there thinking, that's not a bad thing. Come on, you know.
Yeah, I bet he could split wood, too.
Yeah. In my view, think about being a farmer in general of any type.
That's a hard job.
You have to plan ahead. Wouldn't you want the farmer to be president? I mean, that's how I view it. Yeah. You know, some of the policies he did weren't the best, but...
Well, the Democrats hated him right off the bat.
Right.
I mean, his own party didn't like him. So,
right.
And he won anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of amazing, but he was a super nice guy. You
yeah.
know, I don't know all his policies and stuff, and, you know, they kind of... You know, roughed him up, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And
he even after his presidency, he actually was helping build houses and stuff for people voluntarily.
Might be doing that. I don't know.
He's going to be close to 100 here soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did his wife die?
I think so. I would have to look that up. You know, it's one of those ones where, you know, you're not sure. And
his wife was hanging out with that really bad guy.
Right.
John Wayne Gacy or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, there's pictures of John Wayne Gacy and Carter. What's her name? Roseanne? No.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now. He's still alive. He's 100 years old. October 1st was his birthday. So he actually passed 100 years old. Rosalynn Smith. She died in 2023.
What's her name? Oh, Rosalind. Rosalind Carter.
Yeah. Yes, she was...
Well, there were some pictures of her with that John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, really?
Because he was a big... He wanted to be a big star in the politics and stuff.
Didn't know that.
And they showed up in Chicago or someplace, and he was, you know, he got his picture with her. But I don't think she knew any more about him than that. But,
right.
He was a dirtbag. Ooh-wee.
Right.
I think they toasted him, too. I'm not
sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what she ended up having.
Rosalynn Carter. Yeah.
She
very nice, very nice. Well, Jimmy Carter was very nice too. He was a real nice guy, right. Straight shooter, and no big deal.
She ended up having dementia, and ended up in hospice care.
I think I got dementia now.
I don't know about that, Bill.
Something's sneaking up on me.
You
I
never
keep forgetting
know.
Everything.
Yeah, well, I do that now at 41. Jimmy Carter, you know, he's still alive. He's still 100 years old. He's still moving, going around and doing things.
I wonder what that's like, you know, to be 100 years old.
Born 1924. He was alive before the Great Depression.
Yeah.
In the roaring 20s. Imagine the stories and things he's seen. Because he's, what, 30? He's 30 years old, 30 years older than you are. I mean, 26 years older. But,
yeah.
I mean, geez, he's probably seen so much. You know, you think about it. He's seen some of the first cars. He's seen the first flight, you know, that long ago. I mean, the first flight was before that, but...
Well, he was a little kid then, but, yeah. But still...
All that stuff that's changed, I mean...
He went through a lot, I bet.
I mean, we're so connected now in the world that before, when he was born, the world was not connected. You know, we were pretty, you know, we didn't know what was going on in Ukraine or Israel at the time. You'd hear about it months later. Now we hear it instantly. To me, yeah, that's a marvel.
We hear it as it's happening, yeah.
I don't think we're wired for that. That's one thing that I think from talking to older people, like I have a great aunt that was telling me things, and you didn't know what was going on sometimes beyond the next town, you know?
Well, you know how I feel. I mean, I don't want to know.
Right.
There's so much so much going on, I don't even want to know. I just... You know, I'm happy with one baseball game a night, you know, and just fall asleep listening. I get to about the third inning and I'm out.
it kind of reminds me of the Bill Hicks joke that, you know, they're like on the news saying war, famine, death, AIDS, war, famine, death, AIDS. And then Bill Hicks is like, there's cricket sounds, you know, around me, you know, around him. Like there's nothing going on. It's like, okay, that's the world's problems, but we're not wired for that. You live out in the rural areas.
Okay, go ahead and say it. Out in the boonies.
Yeah, out in the boonies. And that's, that's more peaceful, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I do.
The excitement you had was the state.
I'll take that over any city, any day.
The excitement you had was the state police were driving around, and that's it.
Yeah, one day they went shooting by there at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the excitement of the week. Yeah. That was over the year.
Of the year, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. Somebody got killed in Franklin, they were chasing somebody.
Did you ever find out more about that?
Yeah, they caught him, and there was some guy from, I don't know, middle of the state somewhere, over and shot somebody.
Huh.
I don't know why, but...
Wow, there's been stories about people doing
they
that.
They got them. Boy, I wouldn't want them guys chasing me because, boy, they didn't mess around. Boy, they were flying.
They come in packs, too, like wolves.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them. Yeah, that's probably 5, 6, 7 cars went flying by. No sirens or anything. And I'm, jeez, right. Oh, man. Well, they're after somebody.
It's, in some ways, you know, we look at society and how it's changed and... I don't think we're prepared for the future. It's definitely rapidly changing.
Nobody is. I mean, if you were, you'd probably like a fortune teller or something.
Oh, easily,
make a fortune.
I'm just seeing it in my own lifetime, you know, going from what it used to be like pre-computers, you know, like then getting computer, then getting internet, then... The internet.
Well,
growing.
I remember what it was like pre-telephone,
right?
You know,
right.
Pre-television, you know, we didn't have any of that stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. I never. My parents tell me about when they first got televisions, and then when they got their colored TV, which was much later, and then my father to get a computer, and then the computer going to internet, and then the internet growing, just blowing up, just like the whole internet just exploded, and now you can order things online and have it in your porch within a day.
Well, I got rid of my television. I just everything's on the telephone.
Right, right.
It's everything. Everything's on there.
Do you have your television still in your house?
It's up in my bedroom, covered up and stuffed into the corner. I don't use it at all.
You don't even attach your phone anymore to it?
No, I was doing that for a while. I said, this is stupid. Who cares? I mean, I don't, you know... I don't want to watch TV because of the commercials and stuff.
Right.
They're just ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder the country's nuts because they're watching all them commercials.
Well, that's why.
Drive you crazy.
That's why I don't have a TV. I have a computer. That's it, right?
I watch YouTube.
Right. Well, I have uBlock Origin, so that you can use that in Firefox or Chrome. I would suggest using it in Firefox. It will block ads everywhere. It'll block ads on YouTube. It'll block ads elsewhere. I don't see ads anymore. And because to me, the ads are the worst part of the internet.
I pay $13 or something a month to YouTube.
Right.
And I don't get any ads, zero. Well,
that's what the uBlock Origin, I don't see any ads.
Yeah, so it's worth it to me. It's worth it to me.
But, you know, it's not for everybody. But, like, you know, I'm a little bit more privacy-minded than the average American because I'm a programmer and I see what's going on. There's too many programs out there that are sharing information with each other. If you use your cell phone and you'll be like, oh, I want to buy, I don't know, toilet paper, then you're going to see toilet paper ads when they hear it.
Oh, yeah. So. That happened. That's why I got rid of Facebook. I mean, I bought some Toll House morsels or something
right.
at Walmart. I come home. Next thing I see on Facebook is ads for Toll. I said, I already bought them. Why are they showing this to me now? Yeah.
But, you know, in some ways, you know, I'm not trying to promote ads. And you know, I'm against ads. I block ads and I don't see ads. But in some ways, wouldn't you want to see ads that you actually want instead of things you don't want? Because they used to, like on TV, they used to show you ads for feminine products, Bill, and you don't use feminine products. Or this medication that might have 15 million.
Now that I'm 70, I don't want nothing.
No, I know.
I don't want to see anything. I don't care what they're making.
That's how I am at 41. I don't need anything. I'm satisfied with everything I need. And once in a while, the things I do need are things to repair the house or repair different things I have.
Yeah, you go online and search for something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll go find it. I don't need you to tell me. Right. Not you, but the internet, you know. But on that note, we probably should get back to playing some music.
Okay, yeah, you're in charge of that, so I'm all ears, so take it away.
Yeah. Johnny goes into a dance, doubles on the zoo. Down on the corner, out in the street, Willie and the Pope Boys are playing, bringing his fellas happy feet.
Bill, we're back.
It's a real BS show.
That's right.
Hey, it's cold outside.
It is cold.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Snowing at my house this morning.
Yeah.
Ooh, coming down.
It's going to be snowing here pretty soon. You know, we live in a blessed place in the world. I'm telling you that, man. You've been around the world. I've been around the world. And it's like, we don't realize what we have until you come back and realize, wow, it's really nice here.
Well, no matter where you go, there's good and bad.
That's
so
true.
I don't care where it is. Oh, yeah, we get good and bad all year round.
I just, you know, there's a lot of wisdom that you get, like, probably when you were younger and you had older people tell you things. Did you kind of, like, look back and think, or, like, at the time you're, like, you know, kind of, like, ignoring it because you thought it was kind of stupid. But as you aged, you realize it was probably some really good wisdom to listen to.
Oh, sure. When you're young, you think the older folks are all stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you didn't listen to anything.
I was that way in my 20s. Really, I started listening after I had a kid, and I realized, oh, wow, they're right. I'm the wrong in a lot of things, and I need to listen more. So I tried to listen as much as possible. You know, I take in a lot of, you know, what people say that are older, and some of it might be wrong. That's true, because there's a lot of old wise tales, how people tell do things, and they probably were true to a point and had some truth to it, but a lot of it is just horse pucky, you know.
Times change.
Right.
You know.
But there's some wisdom I think that people need to listen to, the older people. You know, they've been there. They've had more years of experience dealing with the same thing. Really, the human experience hasn't really changed much. I don't think, besides, like, you know, how interconnected we are, how fast information can change or be distributed out. That's changed. But really, the truth of it, how humans act with other humans, I think that wisdom is the most important thing to listen to.
What was that show? The Beverly Hillbillies.
Yep, yep.
Remember Granny?
Yep, yep, yep.
She had a cure for the common cold.
Right.
And the banker was all ears. He said, oh, yeah, what is it? We make a fortune. She says, well, just eat some of my chicken soup, and in 10 days, you'll be all better. yeah. I deflated his bowl right away.
Right, right.
It's probably still true today.
Right, right. I think a lot of the, you know, wisdom that I got from older generations in my family just really were helpful because, like I said, not much changes in how families work and how people work, but just...
I don't know. I just listen. I don't talk much.
You know,
try not to, anyways.
I think, you raised a good family overall, and that's something as an example that, you know, most people need to pay attention to. Like, what did you do right? What was the things that you did? Others need to replicate that.
I don't know. I didn't have no manual to tell me how to raise kids, right. So that I probably screwed it up.
Well.
Screwed up, and I just made them know that, you know, I'm not going to be around. So at
right.
18, out you go, and you take care of your own self.
Right.
And
I think
they did it. they did it.
Right, but I think you did teach some values that were essential to them living, and you did some right, even though you had to, like, wish-wash around and figure out what works right. That's not easy. You know, as a parent myself, you know, my son's 18 now, and, you know, he's going to be graduating soon, and that's not easy to hash through what is right and what's wrong. I'm sure I did a lot of wrong things myself, but I tried to be, you know, an example. I tried to lead by example by doing the right thing. And
Most everything my parents taught me was what not to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want to do what they did.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was awful.
I think that's where we, you know, in this society, some people are missing that and not knowing how to raise a kid. You know, the society says you can't even let your kid go out and explore, or you'll get arrested for your kid being about a half a mile away from your house. When I was a kid, man, we used to ride bikes everywhere. But then we have this, you know, scare tactic that there's a stranger going to steal your kids. And that's so rare. It's usually people that you know. Like, it might be a father taking their kid or a mother taking their kid, and there's a custody battle. So this fear came about in society that kids need to be protected always and sheltered from exploring the world. But I think a lot of things we learned as a young kid going around, running around, kind of made us more independent and curious about the world. And now that's being squashed. And so kids are less curious.
Kids need a whack alongside the head. I like little kids. Yeah, I really do. I like them deep fried. Deep fried is my favorite.
Right. But like I said, your kids turned out great. You know, I mean, yeah. you have great kids. You know, they're very conscious of other people. They're great people. You know, and not many people can say that about their own kids.
I hope so. Who knows? You know, it's not over yet.
Right. I know, but you know, most people
got lots of time to screw up.
Sure, but you know, overall, they're, you know, you came out on the positive majorly, you know, and most people don't. So something you did right is what people need to replicate. You know, I know there's some people that have really hard time with kids. Their kids are adults and doing horrible things, and they don't know what to do. Maybe we could do a show about that sometime. We kind of talk about.
I don't want to, you know.
He has trade secrets he doesn't want to share.
Well, it's not that. I'm no expert on raising kids. That's for sure.
No.
So, I think if kids turn out bad, it's their parents' fault.
Yeah.
You know, it's their parents did something wrong.
Right. There's some truth to it, probably.
Yeah.
Then there's sometimes kids just go off the deep end on. They'll have a mental illness and just go off the deep end and. Yeah, there's nothing
you can't control. Once they leave the nest, it's up to them and not you. So
easily, yeah.
But whatever happens to them, it still affects you. So
easily, yeah.
It hurts no matter what. So.
It's painful. That's the side of this is, you know, kind of like marriage. You know, it's either divorce or death. That's only two choices at the end of marriage. It's not, you know.
So if you don't get divorced, you got to shoot your wife?
No, there'll be death anyways. She might die or you die.
Oh.
It'd be tragedy anyways, you know. And that's something, you know, you have to enjoy the moment. Let's say there was a song by, I can't remember his name. He talked about if life was eternal, then would we really do the things that we do in a relationship, you know? If we had immortality, you know, if we lived forever, we wouldn't be doing.
Yeah, we'd drive 100 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah. I mean, people, you wouldn't enjoy the small things, I don't think, that make a relationship work or having a relationship with your kids. It's time's short, so make do of now. You know, harvest is soon, so you have to do things now.
Well, when you hit 70, you slow down, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. But time goes faster, doesn't it?
Well, it seems to, but. You just don't get all involved in all this crazy nonsense that you did when you were younger. You don't need to do it. You know, it's stupid. Just really stupid.
I think about the things that stress me now at 40 versus what stressed me at 20 are two different things. I can't imagine another 30 years what it would be. Especially, you know, the difference between 10 and 20. 10, you're like stressed about, you know, not minor things, really minor things. But really think about it. When you're 10 years old, you lived only a 10 years, where someone that lived 20s lived double that, and someone that lived 40 even four times more than a 10-year-old.
Well, at 10 years old, you're not responsible for almost nothing.
Exactly, yeah.
At 20, it all changes.
Right. Oh, yeah. You become thrown into the world. You know, I was 23 when my son was born. I really think that's when I changed and became, let's say, an adult more, is even though I was in the Army at the time, I think responsibility was major. Like, I had a deep desire to make sure things, I didn't screw up, you know? I realized everything was on the line now. I have someone else besides me that I had to care for, you know? So, yeah, that's the tough part.
Well, let's play a few tunes, and it's got to be getting late.
Yeah.
What time is it?
Yeah, it's getting close to time.
Okay. Well, let's play a few songs and say goodnight.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you? Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love. Falling in love with you.
I've got a black magic woman, got me so blind I can't see. That she's a black magic woman, she's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Yes, don't turn your back on me, baby. Stop messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. You just might pick up my magic sticks.
Go, Bill.
Well, it's about time to check out, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah. Go outside and freeze to death.
Yeah, a little bit of twist and shout maybe will warm you up, you know?
Jeez.
That's what's going to happen with ice when it starts coming, you know? You're twisting and shouting.
You're saying it's going to be a cold winter, huh?
Well, I'm not saying that, but they're saying a La Nina is happening, which means cold.
Who knows? So, I don't know what La Nina means.
Well, there's two different weather patterns that come off the Pacific. One is El Nino and one's La Nina. And then there's a third one called neutral, which is just normal weather. But La Nina for northwest Pennsylvania means we get wet and cold. And that usually means snow when they say wet, because snow is technically wet.
That's La Nina?
La Nina. That means little girl.
What's the other one?
El Nino.
El Nino? Yeah. Is that a guy?
That's a boy, little boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the girls are nasty then.
How? Cold and wet.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Maybe that explains it all. Now everything's much clearer now.
Well, hey, I personally think we need snow. I'm okay with it, you know, even though, you know, some people hate the snow and hate the cold, but I think all four seasons around here are just beautiful. Each one have their own beauty.
Yeah. You just got to dress for it.
That's right.
All right, let's play one last song, and we'll see you all next week. Be healthy, stay safe, and
stay warm.
You know, have fun. If you can't have fun, be careful.
Yeah.
Or, no, if you can't be careful, have fun.
That's right.
I don't know which one.
Both of them, just do both.
One way or the other. Have fun and be careful.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's see y'all later, and see you next week.
Have a good day.